He's one of the most influential sports talk show hosts of our generation. Oh, it's just Steve Dumick on 620 WDAE.
He's given us so many moments of real joy.
The sports animal.
All right, welcome back. 501 here on Tampa Bay Sports Animal, 620 WDAE. Let's reset the scene for you a little bit this afternoon. Let's start from the beginning. About a month and a half ago, Dr. Allen stopped by the studios on her way to lecture in Orlando about the nasties of diet sodas and dropped that big old bombshell on us and then had to leave for a speaking engagement. So we were left to go, huh? Well, if you watched the CBS Evening News last night with Katie Couric, they are the ones who are credited with breaking the diet soda dilemma story. And Dr. Allen and Deweese Allen happened to be watching that show and went ballistic and goes, we have the answers to this. You just don't know where to go look for it. And so we have Dr. Allen in studio this afternoon, and it is the 5 o'clock hour where we have a lot of people just getting into their cars. And if you go on any news station today or newspaper or major news websites, they have this story out of Boston, which is entitled that, you know, with the diet sodas being linked in this latest study to heart disease. And is that the wrong way? It's that, Doc, but you're talking about the fatness that it puts out in people. I mean, obviously being obese is directly related to forms of heart disease. You know, basically when it boils down to it, Dr. Allen, it's just making us fatter, right?
Actually, the two things are completely correlated. What we're talking about is when you have a food or a drink or something that stimulates cephalic or low glycemic index, not only does it open up the key code for fat cell, but it actually causes cardiovascular disease, not just through obesity, but because when you elevate blood glucose and insulin, you put a tremendous strain on your cardiovascular system. So people that eat high glycemic foods or cephalic stimulating foods are almost doomed to develop cardiovascular. So really, it's the same thing. The key code that opens up the fat cell is the same key code that stimulates the cardiovascular disease. And that's blood glucose and insulin levels.
And diet soda has been, and the worst part about diet, at least with the regular Coke, you have to drink it, or the regular diet sodas, you don't even have to swallow it, right? Just
whoosh
it around in your mouth.
But here's the problem. With regular Coke, it stimulates blood glucose and insulin. With Diet Coke, it just stimulates insulin, but you get the same result. So really, now we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. We have to now develop new beverages. There's no way out.
And that's what we have been discussing this afternoon. We had a bevy of high-powered and very knowledgeable doctors on with us in the first hour. So if you missed that, you can click on the station's website at 620wdae.com and go to my webpage, and you can hear the first hour and hour number two if you missed that, which was basically phone callers. But the first hour included two other doctors other than Dr. Allen. It included Dr. Claire Frank Amano, who is director of genetics at the Glycemic Research Laboratory. She's also a doctor at Johns Hopkins University. We also had Dr. David Vaughn, who is with the Cousteau Foundation, who is specializing in nanotechnology in looking for ways to put natural sweeteners in foods, waters, beverages, everything due to nanotechnology, which if you've read anything about that is just simply phenomenal with tiny little protons and neutrons and stuff. And I have a chocolate bar in front of me that is completely manufactured by nanotechnology without any sugars or artificial sweeteners or anything. Right, Doc?
It's nothing. All natural.
All natural.
It's from fruit.
And it's as sweet as you can be. And the best part about it is you can eat as much as you want and you will not get fat.
Well, I wouldn't say as
well, but I mean, you won't open up the fat cells, right?
Yeah. You can eat like with the ice cream. You can eat half the entire container of the ice cream before it even think about going in your fat cells.
Gotcha.
Okay. So you can eat a lot more food.
You can eat a lot more food.
Yeah.
And have a lot less damage to your system. All right, 990 in Hillsborough, Pinellas 461. Get closer to the mic, please. Thank you. Jerry's cracking the whip in there. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Go ahead, Danny.
Thanks a lot, Steve and Dr. Allen. I appreciate you guys being on the air. A couple rapid-fire questions here. Coke or Diet Coke, which one's worse?
About equal. Okay. Even though the diet soda, I'm not going to name brands because I don't feel like getting sued, but diet soda will stimulate faster insulin, more insulin than regular soda. So one stimulates the glycemic response and one stimulates the cephalic response. So neither one is going to work for you.
Fair enough. My fiance is addicted to diet soda. So what would be a suitable, if any, caffeine replacement or substitute that she could use to get her caffeine but not drink that nasty diet soda?
There's a product called Celsius, mm-hmm. and that's a very good product.
All right, and also I powder my iced tea with Sweet'n'Low, and obviously that's not a good thing. Would I just be better off with the sugar in there?
No, because that's the sugar's going to stimulate.
Put fruit on it.
yeah, you could actually, you know, go get the peach juice or pear juice and pour some of that in there. You'd be much better off. But, you know, everybody is looking for a solution now to the beverages, and it's not an easy solution. Right now we're working on glycoside sweeteners, which are sweeteners. The sweet part of a fruit is called the glycosides. So we're actually extracting glycosides from fruit in a 32-step process in our laboratory and removing the sugars and, you know, the glucose from the fruit, and that only leaves us with the glycosides, and they don't have any glycemic or cephalic response whatsoever.
And where would I get the Celsius stuff you're talking about?
You can just go online. They were named Beverage of the Year, and I know these people, and I test for them, and it's a very good company, very good product.
All right, well, thank you very much.
All righty.
All right, thank you, Danny. I mean, we're SOL when you really think about it. You can also go on. Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
You know?
You got it.
For now, until they come out with all the good stuff to replace it.
You got it.
SkinnyScience.com and SkinnyIceCream.com are two of the places where you can go to do more research on this, and they'll download. You can download all the research and everything like that. So SkinnyScience.com, spelled all one word, excuse me. www.skinnyscience.com, which will give you a lot of that information that you're looking for. Let's go to Walter, who is up next. God, Walter.
How you doing, Big Dog and Dr. Allen?
Good, sir.
Hi.
I got a question about a lot of the appetite suppressant and mainly the Hootia. Do those things hurt you in any way by suppressing your appetite, and do these things actually work?
I've done a lot of research on Hootia, and I got to tell you, looking at the research itself and the biochemical response I've seen from Hootia, I would say, no, it doesn't work at all.
Okay.
It's nice therapeutically, but, you know, we're talking about the Click warriors and the Maasai warriors who used to be in the desert, and they would, you know, drink water from the Hootia plant. And it does, in a minuscule way, suppress appetite, but it's not thermogenic. So a lot of these products are saying, Hootia burns fat. No, it doesn't. That's a crock. If it did, I'd tell you that it did. So, no, I don't feel that Hootia is a viable product.
Okay, thank you, Doctor.
Okay.
When it comes down to it, Dr. Allen, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I think that, you know, the vitamin industry, the nutraceuticals or the pharmaceuticals, the, you know, basically all of these supplements that are out there, I mean, they're preying on a weak society that's looking for the short fix. There are good ones, however. I don't want to say that they're not good ones, but, you know, is a lot of this a lot of hooey sometimes?
Yeah, it's like what I've called it in the past, the rapid spread of high-tech ignorance. They spin a story around, say, a Hootia or, you know, this vitamin or that, and it's 99.99% of the time it's a crock. It's a complete crock of crap and has no valid science behind it. You can spin a story out of anything. Just like if you read data on Hootia, it makes it sound like it'll make you lose weight, which it won't. There are good thermogenic agents, but to induce dietary-induced thermogenesis, Hootia ain't going to do it. So there are some good supplements out there, but the majority are just really bad.
Yeah, and you see all these stories that come out there. And I'm sure you've got them in the mail, too, these full-page color magazines, cancer stopped in 3 days, reversed and everything. And they basically scare the crap out of you to buy this, you know, and then they say, as noted on page 14 of our great book, you know.
Then you have to buy the book.
Yeah, you have to buy the book.
Those are the ones that make me crazy. They make me pull my hair out because I know somewhere there's some poor widow sitting in her trailer who's going to take part of her, you know, retirement check and buy this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I have to beg them. I say, look, if there was a cure for cancer, the Nobel Prize would be handed to the person who did it. There ain't no cure for cancer. And so you see these ads. And, of course, the FDA is and FTC are going as fast as they can to stop these people. But it's just everywhere. So people have got to use their good judgment and look at something and go, you know, that doesn't make any sense. There is no cure for cancer.
Their biggest hook line is what doctors won't tell you. You know, the cures are out there. The doctors won't tell you, and the drug companies are spending millions of dollars to suppress any new information that is out there.
Yeah, that's the conspiracy theory. And, in fact, I happen to know the person that wrote that book, and I won't say what his name is, but for the love of God, people, please don't buy that book. And anything that says anything like that, please do not spend your money. Please.
Yeah, I know the author of that thing, too.
Yeah.
All right, Spencer, you're next up when we come back. Dean, Don, whoever else wants to join Dr. Allen this afternoon, please stay with us and by all means jump aboard as we continue with Dr. Andoise Allen here on the Animal 620 WDAE.
Tampa Bay's biggest athletic supporter.
My.
620 WDAE.
You give me so much at one time.
The sports animal.
All right, 19 minutes past 5 o'clock here on Tampa Bay Sports Animal, 620 WDAE. Dr. Andoise Allen, always a favorite guest of ours, is in the house this afternoon answering your questions and addressing the problems that basically were set forth or set in motion last night with Katie Couric's CBS News report. It's now reached AOL.com. It's everywhere on the major news stories this afternoon and this morning about how diet sodas are directly linked to heart disease and obesity, which she came and told us about a month and a half ago. It is just now hitting the mainstream media as a major story. And, of course, Dr. Allen gave us an exclusive. We're the only ones, first ones, that she will talk about it. And she is here with us this afternoon. And the best part about it, as we were talking off the air, Dr. Allen, is that you guys know how to fix it. It's not hopeless as far as that's concerned. The idea is to restructure the beverage industry to get them to thinking the proper way and get people to start thinking the proper way and demanding these things be changed in the drinks.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we thought it would take maybe another 6 months to a year for this story to bust loose. We knew it was going to bust loose because Coca-Cola gave us a call and they were a little bit freaking out. Mm-hmm. They knew what was coming. And so did Johnson & Johnson and Equal. But, you know, all these people know what's coming, but now the public is going to demand that they do something. Nothing changes until the public demands a change. And now that's what's going to happen. That's the result of all this publicity. People aren't going to tolerate it anymore.
And the good news, as we said, is that you guys are ahead of the curve. You know how to fix it. It's just getting it into production, getting it into the mainstream to get it done over again.
Exactly. The technology is now available. The technology is available between low glycemic technology and cephalic technology and nanotechnology. The technology is now completely available and completely utilizable in foods and beverages.
Speaking of low glycemic, we've spoken about that with you for years now, and you being a member and heading up the Glycemic Institute along with many, many esteemed doctors, two of which we've talked to today. There's a company out there right now that is advertising low glycemic food as part of a major diet and everything else. And we had a caller earlier today that said it said zero glycemic index on it. And there's probably nothing that's zero glycemic.
Right. There's no such thing.
There
water.
Is no zero. Water is zero glycemic.
Right.
I'm not going to name names on the company, but you know they have picked up on a buzzword.
Yeah.
Which you guys created,
right.
Which is the real deal. And are they telling the truth? Are they giving them low glycemic meals?
Absolutely not. You know, for those people that buy those foods and those products, I have some property for you in the Okefenokee Swamp. it's a complete misuse of scientific terminology, and it's really one of the biggest ripoffs in the American public I've ever seen.
Really?
Because have they tested their foods to see if they're low glycemic? No. Do they have a clue how to...
Does it carry the seal? I've never seen the seal on it.
Of course not. We would not give them the seal. And if you'll notice, because we put a little pressure through the FDA, they stopped using the word glycemic index and started using the word glycemic advantage.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not notice that.
They no longer say glycemic index. They say glycemic advantage. That's like saying the wall advantage. Oh, I mean, you... What?
Yeah.
It means nothing.
Hmm.
We offered to test for them.
But they're afraid of what they would find,
Hello.
Right? There you go. And believe me, and I said this over the air before, I've seen some of these advertisers at the Super Bowl. They ain't lost no weight. It's amazing what airbrushing can do to a photographer.
It's amazing what the American public will go for. Mm-hmm. But you know, really...
Because they're using a very good scientific form.
Yes.
But not in the right way.
Exactly right.
That's amazing. Amazing. So beware out there. Let's go back to the phones and Spencer in Punta Gorda. Hello, Spencer.
Hey, big dog. Dr. L, it was great having you on. I have two questions I want to ask you. I'm 51. I'm in good shape. I'm active. I physically work out. But the problem is one thing. My downfall is I've got to have my 24-ounce coffee in the mornings. And right now I'm sweet and low and half and half, which I understand you go with the non-fat dry milk or skim milk. But what can I use to sweeten it?
Nada.
SOL.
If I could think of something to tell you, I would. Right now, there is nothing. You know, in the future, now what's going to happen, because all this data came out, is all these companies are scrambling to come out with a low-glycemic, non-cephalic sweetener, and that's what you're going to see, you know, and probably in the next 6 months, because all these food companies are now putting all their resources into doing that, because they have to. But for now, no, there isn't. If you're going to do something, take one of those package, just use one, but you've got to put some protein in there so the non-fat milk or, you know, low-fat milk or something like that, you've got to put some protein in. And if you're drinking coffee, you got to put some protein in with those, with the caffeine. You can't use caffeine alone.
Do you recommend the half and half or get away from the half and half?
No, not the half and half. It has to be non-fat. Non-fat. Just go to the grocery store and get some non-fat milk, you know, or the very low-fat milk, and that protein will buffer the caffeine from, and that's why, you know, these caffeine drinks that have the name Bull in them are going to go right in your fat cells, because caffeine stimulates that, the key code for opening up the fat cells and for insulin.
Okay, now the second thing I want to ask you is, like I said, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and heart disease kind of runs in my family on my mother's side. She had five brothers. They all died before the age of 65.
Whoa,
now,
genetics.
This could be a crock, but tell me the truth. I've read about it, and I've had relatives tell me about vinegar. One thing I've been taking, which I know you're going to probably guess, is in a gallon jug, half apple juice, half white grape juice, and a half a cup of apple cider vinegar, supposedly to clean up the arteries.
Okay. I got an answer for you. Why don't you just drink battery acid, because you'd get a better result? This whole thing about the apple cider vinegar makes me crazy. Let me tell you right now. Here's where it came from. Here's where that whole thing came from. So you people out there that are drinking the vinegar, for the love of God, stop it. Here's what. Remember I said earlier that if you have a salad with an oil and vinegar, you know, dressing on it, or if you have water and you put some lemon, it lowers the pH, right? But that's as much as you can control of the human body. If you start drinking apple cider vinegar or vinegar, you're going to completely destroy the pH and the acid alkalinity of your body, and it's going to wreak havoc. Please don't do that. It doesn't make you lose weight. The way they got that research is if you eat a salad with some oil and vinegar on it with a meal, that helps reduce the fat storing capacity. But drinking vinegar or apple cider vinegar or that white grape juice, which is about the most fattening thing on the face of the earth, is completely wrong and nutso.
Damn. There you go. You must have to hold your nose to drink vinegar, don't you?
And why would you do it?
Because some old wives' tale said to do it. That's why we bring the truth to the radio signal. Unbelievable.
See, that's what I love about
isn't it?
The dog worships the truth.
Exactly. But it's amazing how gullible some of these people are.
But here they are. And they aren't stupid people. Here's what
happens.
You get these companies that spin these stories.
Yes.
You know, just a few of them we've talked about today. And they spin such a good story that the public goes, that sounds good. Because they don't know the science. They're not going to spend 5 hours on the internet looking up, you know, the accurate biochemistry. So these companies are preying on people and using these buzzwords. And really, it's no better than drinking sludge.
Is the glycemic website still up where people can go to find the right foods that are low glycemic?
Absolutely not. We had glycemic. We took it down. Because I filed $31 million in federal court of lawsuits of people who stole our food list. So we took it down.
There you
go. $31 million in federal, and I won every single one. And let us not even discuss how I sued Suzanne Summers. That's a whole nother story. But, hello.
You mean the one that sells on Home Shopping Network? Or did?
Yes, indeed he do.
I noticed there were a lot of similarities.
Let me tell you something. One of the last issues of the National Enquirer that was involved with the Tory said, Suzanne Summers pays to Dr. Andoise Allen an undisclosed sum of money. Okay?
So where do they find what's low glycemic and what's not?
Therein lies the problem, dog, because there is no accurate list that's out there. And there is no accurate list because food companies change their formulas like every few months. Mm-hmm. And beverage companies change their formulas and their beverages constantly. There's no way to keep up with every single product out there. You'd have to change your list every day. Now, to do a clinical trial costs us, you know, $6,000 per food. So we would have to every day go in the grocery store, get every food, and constantly test the foods to establish the glycemic. It's impossible.
Okay. But we can give them guidelines, right? Stay away from the white flour, enriched flour, right? White
pasta. And also look for the seal, the glycemic seal of approval on foods like Procter & Gamble has.
Okay. So it'll be out there eventually where you will be able to buy what you think you're buying. If you're on the phone line, stay there. Dean, you're up next as we continue on this eventful Tuesday. It's one of the biggest stories to hit the national news today last night, and then it was picked up by everybody and their uncle today, is the story about the association between diet sodas and heart disease and fat, which Dr. Allen did about a month and a half ago with us for about 5 minutes and then ran like a bat out of hell because she had to go give a speech on that exact subject. But she's back to explain the situation now that it's hit the national news and it's everywhere. If you turn on the TVs today, tomorrow, yesterday, you saw it. And that's why we have the luxury of picking up the phone and having her come in here. And this is the exclusive in the Bay Area. Trust me, you're not going to find it anywhere else, at least we're the first ones. Anyway, so stay with us. We'll be right back with more here on the Animal 620 WDAE.
Forgot someone's birthday?
No way.
Of course you did.
Okay, maybe.
No sweat. You're a guide. Send an e-card.
Great. How do I do that?
At 620WDAE.com.
.539 here on Tampa Bay Sports Animal, 620 WDAE, as we continue with Dr. Andoise Allen live in the broom closet here this afternoon. We have almost been officially told that this will be our last day in the broom closet, so that will be a good thing. Hopefully they'll have it ready for us tomorrow. Basically, we've been talking a lot with Dr. Allen about low glycemic and non-cephalic, and you know, don't mix that up with something else. But these are the seals you want to be interested in when and if. Some of them are already out there on food labels, which means they've been approved by the Glycemic Institute. If it has the seal certified by the Glycemic Research Institute of Low Glycemic, right, you have that. And then you have the
Diabetic seal.
The diabetic seal of low glycemic for diabetics. You have the non-cephalic, which is the newest one that we have been majorly talked about. And then there's another one here with the green. What is that one?
That is Baja Índice Glicémico.
So that's the Spanish version? Seal. Okay, the
but
Spanish seal.
But we also
seal.
Have a nanotechnology seal now.
Oh, there is a nanotechnology seal, which made this chocolate that I have tasted that is absolutely out of this world, contains no sugar, 100% natural, and is as sweet as you've ever tasted any chocolate in the world. So... it's coming, folks. It just has taken a while, and it's just got to be accepted by the manufacturers, right? They're the ones that have to start dealing with the public on this.
Yeah, they get it now. I would say just in the past few months, we've received, 24-hour calls incessantly from manufacturers who are saying, for the love of God, please help us.
Mm-hmm.
Please help us. And so they get it. All the beverage companies, all the food companies, they understand it. And it's only because the public is now going to put their foot down and go, that's it. I'm done with this. You give me something that's good and healthy for me and won't make me fat. It's the public that has to demand it. And now that the diet soda thing has come out, the cat's out of the bag.
Majorly out of the bag. So let's continue on the phone lines. Dean in Tampa. Hello, Dean.
Hey, Dr. Allen. I'm a 40-year-old male and recently had a hormone panel done, and everything looked good, with the exception of my testosterone levels were about half of where they should be. And I was just curious what you'd recommend for maybe a healthy way for me to try and get those boosted up.
I can tell you exactly what to do. It's probably a genetic problem. Arginine is the only, you could use a testosterone patch, but there's problems with that. And you use exogenous testosterone, and we got to worry about prostate cancer and things like that. But if you take L-arginine, then that will increase your GH levels and testosterone and IGF-1. But you have to take 10 grams of arginine at bedtime on a totally empty stomach for it to elicit GH. Go to argm2.com, and it'll explain about that pathology. But that's the safe way to get your testosterone levels up, and that's what we use with professional athletes all over the world. We use it with the Mets, the Braves. We use it with, all the top athletes in the world to get their testosterone up without putting them on drugs and hormones.
Okay. Are there any foods that would help as well that you might recommend as a supplement? Like I'd seen somewhere that, like, somebody had recommended eating, like, some eggs on a daily basis, and I didn't
total
know if there was anything to that.
Total crock, honey. Total crock. Total crock.
Okay, so just
if they tell you that things on your body are going to grow, you ignore that too. No, it doesn't work.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
So there are, with all the steroid scandals, and we've discussed this many times on this show with Major League Baseball and blood doping with the Tour de France and all this other stuff. There are approved methods that you can get this testosterone level up without taking that other stuff?
Absolutely. And it has to pass. You can go to humanmaximumperformance.com and read about Olympic Committee guidelines and International Doping Committee guidelines for testosterone and caffeine and everything like that. They set the limits and the guidelines for what can be in your body and your bloodstream and detectable by testing. So, yeah, the only safe way to get your testosterone up and legal way is utilizing L-arginine. That's, we've been doing that since 1983 with professional athletes and some of the biggest bodies in the world, power lifters who weigh 350 to 400 pounds. But you can get your testosterone up in a week or two utilizing L-arginine protocols. But you have to be very careful what arginine you use.
How about some of these manufactured synthetic HGHs that are out there on the market? If somebody sees them, do they have to look for L-arginine, or is there such an animal out there?
I would really stay away from those. Those are very, very scary. And you can go to ArgineAnswers.com, and it lists the warning of using L-arginine, GH precursors and things like that, or even arginine testosterone precursors, because Johns Hopkins did a huge study, a colleague of, Frank Amanos, that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, that showed that arginine can kill up to 10% of the people that take it. It'll kill you deader than a doornail. Not a good side effect for a supplement that's legal. So go to ArgineAnswers.com, and you can read about arginine will take you down if it's not the right formula.
All right. Let's go to David in Seminole. Go ahead, David.
Hi, doctor. How are you doing?
Great.
First of all, you're totally blowing me away with your studies. This is awesome.
Thank you.
I went to the WDAE website, Stephen. I see that you have the show saved, which is great.
Yep, yep.
I'm gonna be sending this out to all my friends because all my friends drink diet soda.
Yeah, well, everybody does. Everybody.
And I take it you don't, right?
Well, I've drank mine too, and but I do like water. My question, I had a couple questions for the doctor. Do you have any problem with the Zephyr Hills spring water, or should I be drinking?
Yeah, I do. I do have a problem because when we're talking about, as I said, I used to be a water chemist, and Dr. Vaughn is one of the most famous water chemists in the world. And when you're talking about water, our water is so contaminated that there is no good clean water unless you maybe want to go to the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, and spring water doesn't have any guidelines, any FDA guidelines on what it can contain. It can contain cryptosporidium. It can have, all manner of things in it. So the only water that it really is clean is reverse osmosis water. Distilled water, forget it. Even distilled water has some serious bacteriological elements in it and PCBs and all kind of things. The only clean water left on in the United States is deionized water.
Okay, and my other question was, you were speaking about the sweetening agent. Was it maltodextrin?
If it says maltodextrin's on it, then you need to run as fast as your legs will go.
Well, my question was, isn't that that's in flour, right?
No, maltodextrin is really a sugar that they've, as I said, they now have it transferred over to be called a carbohydrate when it's not. It is a sugar, and it's 50 times more fattening than any bowl of sucrose ever was. But maltodextrin is something that they add to foods to increase the bulk. It's in a lot of cereals. It is in products that have flour in it, but maltodextrins are not indigenous to flour. They add it to it. So look
right
on the label.
I mean, like fast foods, like burgers and everything.
They're putting maltodextrins in everything because it's cheap, and they don't have to say it's a sugar.
And you don't, you have your own website we can go to?
I have 20 websites. You can start with AndoiseAllen.com, glycemic.com, glycemicindextesting.com, humanmaximumperformance.com, ediblecomputerchips.com,
skinnyscience.com.
That's right. Just go Google me and you'll be there for the rest of your life.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. Smart guy.
Yeah, he sounded like interested in helping change.
He didn't want to talk about space aliens.
Yes, change his friends' attitudes and himself. So let's go to John, who is up next. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Good. Hey, you're talking about diets. I'm going to ask you two questions and hang up. The first one is, what do you think about Fresca? Because it apparently doesn't use, I guess it's not supposed to be like the regular diet soft drinks as far as the additives in it.
It's just the same as any other one.
It is just the same.
Just the same.
Okay. And the second is, my wife is a very fit young woman, 37. She walks 7 days a week for 45 minutes to an hour. She does body pump 3 days a week and Pilates 1 hour a week.
Then that makes you a very lucky man.
Yes, it does. But she drinks coffee and she drinks 2 cups a morning.
That's okay.
She uses saccharin, and she's using the no sugar sweetener in it.
There is no such thing as a no sugar sweetener. I can tell you, every one of the packets has 4 to 5 calories, but they don't have to list it on the little packets because the FDA says they don't.
Okay.
Now, but we talked about coffee. Again, go and just put some non-fat milk in it.
So my question to her is, with respect to her, is working out the way she does, and she's very conscious of what she eats and everything. Do I have to tell her she needs to stop drinking coffee?
Absolutely not. In fact, if she, because she exercises a lot, she's in good shape. If she doesn't have diabetes in her family, having one of those packs in a coffee for her is
I was just going to say,
there are some
exceptions into this thing.
You can't get completely neurotic. If she wants to have one pack of the sweetener in her coffee, that it's only 2 packs a day, that's fine. Let her have it. Just make sure she puts some kind of protein in that coffee.
Understood. Okay, thanks for your help.
Good job.
Okay, thank you. And, again, that was going to be my question, but you got it. But I mean, there are exceptions to everything. You can't just, like you said, don't be neurotic on it. But,
right.
I mean, if she
everything
works...
Everything in moderation.
If you work out, if you do this, you do that, you're in some ways counteracting all of that.
And I'll tell you
situation.
What, it's exactly equal to saying his wife, who's in good shape and exercises, you know, can she have some French fries? Can she have a piece of cake? Can she have this? Yeah, she can more than the average person. So the sweetener packets are just the same as any other food mm-hmm. that might be considered fattening if you weigh 300 pounds and you sit on the sofa all day. So everything is relative. It you are what you metabolize and you are what you burn. So if you burn it up, you can eat more of these things.
Let me ask you this, and we'll ask you the question and we'll have the answer when we come back. There are a lot of obese people out there, and I mean
hyper
obese. We were talking off the air about how sometimes you open it up and you can't close it.
Yes.
Right? You
yes.
can talk about that.
The
and address
door's
it.
Open.
The door's open, and you got to do a heck of a lot more than the average person to close it, right? Or
yes.
it may never close.
You're exactly right.
All right. Dr. Allen will be back with us for our final hour. Please stay with us. If you're on the phone lines, we will come back. And again, if you missed any of the show previous, if you're just joining us, it's all up on the website on 620wdae.com. Just go to my webpage, and it's all up there on podcast or all the other good stuff that you can download. For the first hour, especially when we had all the experts in the field of medicine and biochemics and geometrics and geomes and nanotechnology and everything else, explaining to you all of what is going on around the world as far as this diet soda situation. So make sure you visit that as well if you missed any of the show. And we'll be back with the final hour of Dr. Andoise Allen here on the Animal 620 WDAE.